It's Monday, January 30th, and this is Geek Nights. Tonight, we were going to talk about something else, but we end up just arguing with each other about Wikipedia for pretty much the entire episode.
Let's do this!
So, as you all know, I was out of town for the weekend back at my old alma mater, RIT, in New York.
I was sitting at home.
Yeah. Though, magically, I still did the episode. Fancy how that happened, you know, technology.
We have magical powers.
Actually, it's funny. We've always tried to get ahead on Geek Nights. Like, we'd try to record, like, bits to have around for days when we're tired or
We record the bits and then we use them immediately.
There was a time when we were ahead. We had three extra bits waiting around for whenever we had a day where we didn't have enough stuff to talk about. We used them all almost immediately, and we've never gotten ahead since then.
I don't think we're going to get ahead, ever.
But anyway, I went to see the old RIT Anime Club, and despite the fact that I haven't been the president of that club for 2 years now, the fact that I walked up on stage and everyone knew my name without me having to introduce myself made me feel very happy. But more importantly, and well, I'll talk about this in much more depth tomorrow, but regarding the DS versus the PSP in terms of games, I've got to say that the DS seems to be coming ahead as the clear winner.
In terms of games, I mean, the PSP is a great video player and, I guess, podcast receiver.
But, I mean, this anime club, there's, you know, 150 people, give or take, at the meeting, and many, many, many of them had their DSs with them. As in, I tried to join a Mario Kart game, and it filled up to the point that three or four people were like, hey, who's in this game? Because I didn't make the cutoff. And I was at the front of the room, you know, big auditorium, and I just said to someone casually, like, oh, all these kids with Mario Kart, I'll school them. And half the room yells, want to bet? And they all whip out their DSs, like, bring it!
Yeah, and they got schooled, I imagine.
Yeah, I quite thoroughly hosed them.
I don't think anyone just understands how to play that game.
I mean, honestly, I tried to play online, and of the four races I did, three of them ended with everyone I was racing against disconnecting before the end, and one of them, the last guy, didn't disconnect, so I actually got to finish it and rack up some victories. And I think the only reason he stayed was because I kind of held back and let him win a couple of races so he would think he had a chance.
Wow.
People just don't drift. I don't think they even read the instruction book.
How do they beat, like, the 50, 100, and 150 cc and all that stuff if they don't know what the hell they're doing?
I don't think they did.
Oh. See, if I was making the game, I just wouldn't let you do online play until you... Or I would have... Come on. It's like everyone else has learned all these lessons of making online playable games. Like, you know, even Warcraft would be like... ranking the players and only people of certain rank, it would match them up. So
well,
you didn't have awesome people playing against noobs.
No, there was a lot of reasons that can't work. Partly just because the games are real quick, and there aren't that many people playing Mario Kart DS online at any given time.
There are plenty of people playing Mario Kart DS
to match up into quick games because people want to play almost immediately. People don't want to sit around and wait a couple minutes while it finds good people for them to race. They just want to race whoever's there. So it's not going to do a lot of matching up skills.
They should let you do
friends.
The manual matching up like every other freaking game.
This is a console thing. I don't think any DS games are going to do it the way you seem to expect.
The way every multiplayer game has
every
done it.
Every multiplayer PC game where it's a completely different...
And Xbox.
Which is also a completely different type of game.
It's not different at all.
Yeah, there's active servers that you join as opposed to just randomly hooking up with people out of the blue.
No.
On PC games.
There's no... On the Xbox, there are no servers.
Yeah, I didn't say Xbox. I was talking about just PC games.
I'm just saying, and Jed, there's no reason. There's no technological reason or
no, there's
any
no
reason
technological reason. There's a lot of logistical reasons.
Like what?
The main reason, I think, is that most people who seem to have the DS aren't very tech savvy and don't know or care about any of that stuff.
They can see a list of games and join it. I mean, MSN Zones and Yahoo Games have lists of games, and you join one. And you
that wouldn't work for Mario Kart the way it's set up. Mario Kart, you race four races and it's done. It takes about 5 minutes.
Yeah, someone clicks create new race, and then three people join it, and then they click go.
Nah.
And then, if you see one that you want to play, and you click on it, you say
remember,
join.
Remember, Nintendo wanted this to be so simple, you don't even have to do anything. You just...
Yeah, but there's a point, you know, making it simple is all good, you know, but there's a point at which you make it so simple that it's not...
See, I have no problem with that. The only problems I have with the game are that most of the people who play are just terrible.
Yes, and the way to solve that problem is to do exactly what I say.
Nah, because I don't think that would help.
All right, so what do you think would help, Mr. Genius?
I don't care. I just don't care.
Wait. So you're like,
I have one.
So you're like, I don't think that your suggestion is a solution. I don't care. There is no solution.
Because I didn't say it as it's a problem. It's just that's one, the only thing that's bothered me about the game.
Wait. But I thought you didn't care, but now you're saying it bothers you.
I don't care, as in it's not an issue I worry about. It's just like, oh, this game's perfect except for this one thing, but it's not anything that I care enough about to worry about. And mostly, considering the fact that the game's out and it can't be changed, unless they release a new game, it doesn't matter at all.
There's no, but in done. The future, the other games should do things properly and not be all...
Yeah, third parties will. I don't think Nintendo games will.
Yeah, well, then they're going to have a problem.
Because I've noticed the only people who really care about this seem to be the crazy fanboys in like a few sections of the GameFAQs forums. And everyone else just seems kind of indifferent. They just play.
Well, because, you know, they play, but they keep quitting and jumping out and whatever.
Well, I did discover that most of the people who quit do so actively because they have this thing against people who snake or people who mini-turbo. Mm. And if they see you do it, they quit immediately because
I see if Nintendo keeps doing this sort of automatic matching up, you know, thing with all their games, and they don't have, you know, proper matchups or something.
Well, proper
you know.
In your eyes.
Anyway, if they don't do that, think about when, like, Smash Brothers Revolution is going to come out. People are going to be dropping out all over the place. You're never going to be able to get a game on, and people will say, you know, I really love playing Smash Brothers online, but it really sucks because you can't really get a game going on because people just quit all over the place. They need to learn the lessons that everyone else has already learned in the past 10 years.
I just think these
years.
Are fundamentally different types of games.
And it's not fundamentally different anyway. It's a game, you play it online.
Look at Counter-Strike. Counter-Strike, you have a server that's going constantly and people come and go. Mario Kart, you can't just have people come and go. Everyone has to start at the same time and end at the same time.
Yeah, so?
So, you'd have to completely rework how it works. You'd have to make it
look
like
at,
a local Wi-Fi.
Yahoo Games backgammon. Everyone joins at the same time and ends at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, any Yahoo game. You know, everyone, some guy says new game, people join it, it fills up, the guy who started it clicks start, everyone plays, and then when it's over, it's over.
Yeah, there's more overhead for a real-time game like Mario Kart as opposed to backgammon.
There are real-time games on Yahoo Games and MSN Zones and all those other stupid little online things that, like,
middle-aged people
play. Yeah, then
write a letter to
Nintendo.
If you're going to complain about it, then... do something. Complain to someone who cares.
Because I'm worried because I think what's going to happen is if Nintendo keeps the system this way, the Nintendo online experience will continue to be subpar, and eventually people will be like, oh, who cares if it has Wi-Fi? The Nintendo Wi-Fi sucks. You can never get a game on it. It's always a bunch of losers and quitters.
See, I think part of the problem is just the types of people who are on the Wi-Fi are generally poor, as I've discovered.
Yes, and there's no way to control that, so you have to have, you know, some sort of system. Like,
well, you know what my system is? I play with people I know. Kind of like in Counter-Strike and Natural Selection. I didn't just join random servers. I found a few servers that always had good people, and I just always joined them.
Yeah, I did that too, but the thing is...
So
is
with this, I only play with my friends. Like, I am someone, hey, you want to play Mario Kart? All right, get whoever I can get together, and we just play.
Yeah, but eventually that gets pretty old, and people aren't always available to play.
I have enough people on my list now to where people are pretty much always available to play.
But they're not also choosing friends, they're choosing other things.
No, as in I am them and say, hey, let's all play, and then we all pick friends. No one just picks friends and goes. There aren't enough people in your friends list for that to ever work.
You could have a crazy friends list.
There's a very small limit to how many people can be in your friends list, and then it starts knocking them off.
It's pretty big, though. It's like 40 or something.
It's not that many people. The odds of four of them being online at any given time are pretty slim.
It's like 40 or 64.
That's not so many.
It's plenty because what people do is they go online and they whatever website that they're affiliated with, they you know add everyone on that site to their friends list and they all do it for each other and they lock them in and then they always say, all right, everyone, always pick friends whenever you play and they always seem to get games together.
You haven't done it at all. You're using anecdotal evidence there. You don't know. You don't know if
people
that
are doing
works.
It. That's what they say.
Most of the people I see do it. They organize games in real time, as in, all right, let's play now, or they schedule a game. Let's play it this time.
No, that's your people. That's not the people I see.
Yeah, you don't even play the game. What do you know?
Yeah, there's a reason I don't play the game. It's because it's impossible to get a game online together that doesn't suck.
No, you won't play against us when we're over either. I think it's because you're not so good anymore.
Because I'm disillusioned with it. It's not so great.
Yeah. I think I got other things to do. Where you were saying it's the greatest Mario Kart ever.
Because it was.
And the game didn't
change.
The game is the same game that you said was awesome. Nothing changed.
Because I hadn't played the whole game. It's like, imagine.
What do you mean you hadn't played the whole game?
I hadn't played the whole game at that
what
point. I had just gotten it.
What hadn't you played?
Most of the game.
What do you mean? So you found a track that you didn't like?
No.
There was you discovered a character that ruins the game.
I had
for
barely
you?
Played it online at that point. And at that point, it didn't even work online at first. The online was completely broken, right? And two, I didn't even beat the game, so I didn't know what it was like
in
the fastest
speed.
Beating
the game doesn't do anything.
Yeah, it does. You figure out what it's like on the faster modes and such.
Okay. And it was
the
same.
I didn't fully play the entire game. There's a lot of, you know, there's like movies where you can watch the first 5 minutes of a movie and it's the greatest thing in the world, but then you see the whole movie.
Like, playing even one of the 50cc isn't much different from playing the hardest 150cc.
My impression of the game changed as I played more and more of it.
I think your impression of the game changed as you got worse and worse at it compared to everyone else.
No, I don't think so.
Uh-huh.
I think that, you know, just because I don't want to play a game because I don't like it, and you really want to play against me and I don't want to, so you come up with something, you know, to try to be like, if you're not playing with me, that must mean you suck.
Well, I mean, I noticed that you wanted to play with me all the time when the game first came out until I beat you, and then you haven't played me since that one time I kicked your ass.
It has nothing to do with it.
It just seems quite a coincidence. You know, you're kicking my ass, you're beating me, and then one day I kick your ass into the ground, and then you never play again.
Because maybe that just happened to be the time when I have other stuff to do.
Uh-huh. All right, you had other things to do. It just happened to coincide.
When have I had free time to play the Zuma game?
You have plenty of free time.
No, I don't. What do I free time?
We sat around for hours today just watching Last Exile and dicking around.
I was watching Last Exile.
Eh, whatever.
And then I was eating dinner, and then I was doing groceries,
dinner,
and then I was doing laundry.
Pizzas.
Yeah, now I'm making a podcast. Right? And then I got to go mess with my video card, and then I had to go to bed.
Oh, well, I guess that's at least somewhat topical, because while it's not video game day, it is SciTech Day, and I guess there's technology involved in the DS.
Yeah.
Though the only other thing I did in Rochester is I caught an MX game. Hockey, for those of you who don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one, like, I've seen a bunch of different types of hockey, different leagues, whatever, but I'd never seen that level of hockey.
We went to it in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Did we? When?
We went to see the Hartford Wolfpack play the Bridgeport Sound Tigers.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, well, we did. You were there.
I don't even remember.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And the Emmerichs won, but I gotta say, that level of hockey is really not so great.
Yeah, it is.
They were pretty terrible. Like, I've seen high school and college teams that just had better puck control.
Well, the Emmerichs were I think they won last year, didn't they?
Yeah, and you know what? They're doing pretty poorly, and they were on a losing streak. And then they beat this team by, as far as I can tell, sheer luck and just by outshooting them.
Maybe they lost to the good players last year because they won, so all their players went to the NHL or something. Who knows?
I don't know. It was still fun, though. The coolest thing was we had an exchange student with us. Mm-hmm. And he had never seen hockey before.
Never seen hockey? Where's he from?
God, I don't remember. South America, I think.
They don't have hockey?
Most people don't have hockey. Hockey is not popular in most of the world. In fact, the majority of the world is.
They don't even know it exists?
They don't even know it exists in most of the world.
I mean, I did searches for hockey in strange places, and I found, like, weird, scary hockey leagues in, like, Japan.
Oh, yeah, but as far as the world's concerned, most people just don't care at all about hockey.
Most people don't care about most sports.
Hockey is very much a Northern American, Canadian, Russian, and Northern European sport.
I mean, like, think about this. There was a Harris poll the other day, and it was like, how many people, you know, care about sports? And it was like 20%. 80% of people just don't care about any sports at all.
But he'd never seen hockey before, so we were describing it to him because he really likes soccer. He's good at soccer.
It's almost
so explaining that it's a lot like soccer and that it's low scoring and goaltending means a lot and breakaways, blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we described, but there's he heard that it's violent. Like he'd heard a little bit, like he'd heard of hockey, and he knew it was violent. So we explained, it's real violent. In fact, if two guys get into a fight on the ice, the refs aren't allowed to break it up until someone wins.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, not 5 minutes into the second period, two guys throw down their gloves and duke it out.
All right.
It was fantastic.
That's what it's all about. You can go to the shittiest hockey game in the world with the worst teams ever, and a fight will break out, and it'll be worth it.
It was a fun game, and I won the lottery at it, of all things.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
lottery for what?
New York State Lottery was there or something. And there's, you know, the t-shirt girls that come out at sporting events and they throw t-shirts at people.
You mean Stephanie?
Yeah. Well, I caught a t-shirt and I was very happy with it. And then I opened it and it's just a math tax shirt.
Uh-huh. Well, you can proudly wear that at your next bingo night or whatever.
Yeah. Hi, Rolla.
Big winner.
No whammy, no whammy, no whammy. Stop.
Well, and, let's see, what did I do this weekend? I sat around.
Didn't you buy a car?
Yeah, I bought a car. I went to those board game guys, played some nice new board games, you know, met some people. They were cool. The board games were fun.
You'll probably talk about them tomorrow in Gaming Day.
Yeah.
Because we already talked today about the DS. I don't need to repeat that.
Yeah. You know, pretty usual. Sitting around, looking around.
Great.
Walking around, looking around. That sort of thing. Yeah, I had to defrag the hard drive in this computer.
Windows box?
Yeah, this laptop here. The work one.
See, I'm not used to the idea of defragging anymore.
Me either. It
now
was
that
like,
I don't use Windows.
I was like, oh yeah. So apparently, unless you have 15% of your hard drive free, you can't really defrag properly.
Oh yeah, at system administration, that's like the number one thing. If you want to defrag a server's hard drive, that's because a lot of servers just happen to be Windows for various reasons, you usually just copy all the data to another drive and then back. That's the by far the best way to defragment a hard drive in Windows.
Yeah, so I can't get enough data deleted off of this to defrag it properly.
Well, then buy an external drive, copy everything to it, and then copy it back.
It's not mine. This is a works computer. I'm not doing shit.
Then tell them to do that.
Well, I'm going to tell them. I'm probably just going to get a new hard drive for it and take the one out of here and put a new one in.
What? Whatever, whatever.
Because it's really too small. It's only 40 gigs.
That's plenty. You shouldn't need to have much on that laptop.
No, it's full of shit from the guy who had it before me.
Well, delete all that.
I can't.
Why not?
Because it's like licensed software and company crap, and it sucks. It sucks having a computer that's not yours and having to use
it. Just boot an Ubuntu Live CD every time you want to use it.
I can't because there's actually stuff on it I have to use.
Wine, man.
No, like BlackBerry shit and Outlook
You can get all that to work
shit.
In Wine.
Not really.
Yeah, you ever tried?
No, it's not worth it.
I could look. I'm kind of a wine expert.
Yeah, for real.
It's pretty much my job at IBM lately.
Yeah, sucks to be you.
But anyway, to actually move into our real news, we got one bit since we figured we'd talk long after the long weekend. But Wikipedia has had some trouble. Like, in the past, you know, there's people who vandalize Wikipedia. They'll go into a post about, I don't know, strawberries and just add, like, aliens to it. Or just they'll replace an entire article with the word fuck. You know, just people vandalizing it for no good reason. Lately, the people who have been vandalizing Wikipedia have been, wait for it, members of the Congress of the United States of America.
Well, not personally, but their staff.
Yeah, their staffers. Sometimes on their orders, sometimes on their own. It really is a tricky situation here.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, Wikipedia has articles on just about everything. And
absolutely,
as you all know,
everything, even scary things you didn't know about.
Yep, and as you all know, I often write for Wikipedia, though I do so anonymously. Usually I find pseudoscience, and I flag it as such, as vitriolically as I possibly can.
That's not a word.
Vitriol is a word.
I can
add suffixes to words.
You don't say vitriolically, you say with much vitriol.
Yeah, you know what? It has the same meaning, and you knew what I meant. And I feel that making a word like that by adding suffixes and or prefixes is perfectly grammatically legitimate.
Well, then you can't yell at me when I do it anymore.
I don't yell at you when you do that.
Yeah, you do.
I yell at you when you freaking make up words or use adverbs and adjectives incorrectly.
You just made up a word, so there you go.
There's a difference between making up a word and
making up a word?
And making up a word that you just make up. I mean, adding a suffix to a word is not in the same class as stringing eight letters together.
Yeah, it is. It's making up a word. It's not a word. You made it up.
You realize a large portion of the words in the English language wouldn't really be in the dictionary. They're just a root word plus a prefix or suffix.
Yeah.
Or they're just completely made up.
No.
A lot of words in English that we use today were made up. Shakespeare made up a whole bunch of words.
Well, Shakespeare was allowed to make a whole bunch of words.
Why?
Because he was Shakespeare.
Yeah.
You're not.
We'll see about that.
Yeah, we will. Where are your collected works?
But anyway, among all the articles Wikipedia has, they obviously have articles about politics and political parties and members of Congress and things of that nature.
Mm.
Well, members of Congress who say, do something bad, and then that something bad is in an article on Wikipedia, had their staffers go around either deleting it or deleting the articles entirely or creatively editing articles about them to make them look better, or astroturfing, or all sorts of just nefarious activity. And it's actually fairly widespread to the point that Wikipedia considered it an emergency, as they tend to consider things like that, and they blocked Congress's IP addresses from accessing Wikipedia. are editing Wikipedia for a week while they debate what to do about it.
Awesome. Give them what for. I really think that, I don't know, it's like there should be some sort of a system in Wikipedia where there's some sort of nomination and election. You know how like Gentoo works, where each package has a maintainer? You know, and there's an official maintainer of the package, right? And that, so, like, there's an e-build for the GIMP, and there's some guy whose job it is to maintain that e-build. So when the GIMP is updated, he has to update the e-build. And if there's something wrong with the e-build, he has to fix it. And it's all his job, and he's assigned to it. Sure, you can edit the e-build, and you could send in, like, a submission to him, like, hey, check this out, you could do this, it's better. But it's up to him. He's the man for that piece.
Well, there Wikipedia, are a lot. I see where you're going with this, yeah. And there are a lot of reasons why that wouldn't really work.
Why not?
One, it's kind of like, have you ever written for Wikipedia?
Yeah.
Well, if you write on similar articles a lot, you know, there's an article, and then every article has a talk page associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the authors all talk to each other.
Yep.
And I found through all my editing that most pages have a small group of people who have just come to be in charge of that page unofficially. And they always watch it, and they edit, and they talk about it constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And every page seems to have this sort of organization on its own ad hoc.
Yep.
And I don't know if I'd like the idea of making anything like that official. Because the main thing about Wikipedia is that it's really just any Joe Schmo just edits it whenever he wants, without even, like, wondering or thinking about it.
Well, see, the idea that I have is you would still have any Joe Schmo edits it, right? But then it would be sort of like the... Like, there would be drafts and revisions. So you could just go in and edit the current working draft whenever you wanted, and then the guy who's in charge of that page would do, you know, would say, ah, and then he would write it in a way that is written properly and not just people hacking sentences into each other.
No, that doesn't... Know? See, they've considered that a lot, and I see that same idea proposed on talk pages constantly. And even the high-up Wikipedia people have a lot... I mean, I don't remember all their reasons, but they talked about how very specifically, like, it's a bad idea for these reasons. They're like, one, two, three, four, five, tons of reasons. And they evaded it to death, and they decided it's not going to happen.
I think as long as... Because then Wikipedia would only have to monitor this one set of people who are in charge of pages, you know?
See, Wikipedia doesn't monitor anything, really. They just watch for abuses that are obvious. Like, if the same IP address reverts a page three times... One, the page immediately becomes protected so no one can screw with it until someone looks at it. Mm-hmm. And two, it just automatically prevents that IP address from editing anymore. And all sorts of protections like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed that most errors like this, like even these Congress things, get noticed almost immediately by just people reading Wikipedia and fixed. And whenever there's a war, you know, when someone makes an edit and then someone else edits back and then someone else edits back, it seems that people notice that right away. There are flags that... It'll automatically flag an article that this article is being fought over, and then it comes to the attention of the people who are a couple of steps up from me in terms of writing for Wikipedia, who really care about it a lot, and they'll swoop down and fix it and set it straight. And it all just seems to work out. I've never run into a page that was broken beyond repair.
I've run into some pages that are pretty scary. Or pages who are like, the worst, what's worse than something that's broken is when someone comes in and writes a page that's like a sentence, and that's it. And it's like, you didn't even put any effort into that at all. What? It's like, God.
Well, you know what they do? Pages like that are still marked as stubs.
No. Like, it's actually an article, but it's barely even anything.
Yes, and you know what? When that happens, as soon as someone finds that article and sees that there's almost nothing in it, they mark it as a stub, even though there's content there.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll have the stub thing at the top and then whatever was already written. Or if an article is poorly written, it'll be flagged as, warning, this article is poorly written. We're looking for people to edit it.
See, but who's doing this flagging?
Anyone.
I don't see any of that.
I see it often. In fact, many of the pages I edit, since I tend to edit various pseudoscience things where there are a lot of crackpots out there who are trying to edit back, the pages get these flags all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if a page is recommended for deletion, it'll be shown that this page is recommended for deletion. Discuss. And then people can eventually come to a consensus, and then it'll have a permanent flag saying, on such and such date, this article was put up for deletion, and deletion was voted against, so people don't bring it up again, stuff like that.
Yeah, Wikipedia, I still say, was more useful like 2 years ago and before all the crazies in the world started messing with it.
See, I have not found any major inaccuracies in Wikipedia in my recent reading at all.
It's not so much inaccuracies, it's like because things are being fought over and whatnot. It's
not
like,
much is being fought over. A very surprisingly small amount of Wikipedia is subject to any excessive abuse.
Yeah, but that's because that's the flagged part. That's what you can count. The rest of it, no one's paying attention to because it's not controversial. But the stuff that's not, you know, right there, that just no one notices because it's...
Yeah, and you know what? People eventually notice it. Because honestly, part of what I do is when I'm bored, I'll just go to random Wikipedia pages and give them a quick once-over. Mm. I'll just fix a little grammar. Or that
Plus, the
look
stuff
right
that's the worst, though, is the stuff where you have no way of knowing whether it's right or wrong.
You know what? If you have no way of knowing whether it's right or wrong, then that's not the kind of thing you look up on Wikipedia. Wikipedia.
But that's but then what's the point? The point is to find out stuff I don't know, not to go find stuff I do know. If I do know it, I don't need to look it up on Wikipedia.
Yeah, but if you're 100% ignorant on a topic, you're probably going to want to do some more verifiable research.
Of course, but then, you know, then what's the use of Wikipedia then?
Well, you know what? The use of Wikipedia is that despite all this, I have never had a problem with the accuracy of the information I've sought.
Oh.
Ever. I have never once run into a problem with using Wikipedia for research.
I haven't had any specific problems, but it's like sometimes I'll go to look there and it's just not helpful at all.
What do you mean? Like, give me an example.
I haven't had like a problem where, oh, I went to a page and it was full of crap, you know, the word fuck 100 times.
So what have you been searching for in Wikipedia that you have all this trouble?
I don't know. I don't remember. Last time I went there was like a few days ago, but like,
okay, and what did you look for?
I don't remember.
So you're saying there's these problems, yet you have no...
I remember going there for like three different things and ending up with like just useless empty pages.
What things?
I don't remember. What do you want? What do you think I am? Like a freaking...
So you've got no... You don't even have anecdotal evidence. You're just saying stuff.
Just because I don't remember what it was... Just because I don't remember what I was searching for doesn't mean that my memory of the fact that I searched and what the result was is invalid.
It might be, because I'm curious as to whether you actually had a problem or what articles you saw that, for whatever reason... I mean, why were these articles bad?
They were just, like, one sentence, and it was completely useless.
What were you searching for? And if it was just
I
one
don't
sentence,
remember. I just remember what the result was like and that it was useless.
Wait, so you're saying
to me
that you found a whole article, not marked as a stub, a separate article that was just a sentence?
Yep.
Show me an example of this, and maybe we'll talk. Did All you look right. on the discussion page? Maybe they just deleted it because they were rewriting something. Whenever someone puts
there
something
wasn't
up
any little notices at the top or anything.
All right. Did you look at the talk page?
No, I never look at the talk page.
The talk page, we always have to look because whenever an article is being edited heavily, what they'll do is they'll cut and paste all the stuff out of the article into the talk page and take it off of the article, and then they'll edit it there, and then they'll put it back when it's readable or good.
Mm.
So maybe you just found pages that were in transition and weren't flagged yet.
But see, if things are moving... See, that's also annoying, because if things are moving around all the time, then it's, you know, it's like, you know, it's
what do you
like,
mean? I have no trouble. If things are moving around, you look in the talk page and you see.
I have to go and look in the stupid talk page.
Yeah. You see, research isn't easy. It never has been and it never will be. Because you can't trust many sources and you have to back things up constantly. Wikipedia is the same way. If you want to use Wikipedia for more than just a cursory glance at some information, you have to look at the talk page. You have to look at who's been editing the article. You have to look at what's going on, and you have to think to yourself whether or not this article seems legitimate and possibly do a little bit of side research to make sure that it is, in fact,
See,
legitimate.
I don't use Wikipedia for anything serious. I just use it if there's like a fact or two I want to know, you know, and if there's no facts there whatsoever, it's like, it's just not worth the effort. You know, it's like, the point is I want to... If I'm doing real research, I'm going to go to the library or I'm going to go
Scott,
to some...
Besides, Scott, you realize that the other point is if you search for something on Wikipedia and there's no information there about it, then that's your problem, not Wikipedia's. You should step up and write the article. Do the research and write it.
You know,
once you find
if
your
I'm
answer,
looking for something, that's because I don't know it. So
yeah,
I'm not really
you know
the person
what?
To write the article on it.
Yeah, so if you don't find the answer on Wikipedia, but you still want to find the answer, and you eventually do, you should go back and put it in Wikipedia.
The thing is, if I really want to know the answer, I'm not going to be looking on Wikipedia. I'm going to be reading a book on it. I look on Wikipedia when I'd like to know the answer, and it's not really worth that much to me, but Wikipedia is really easy. It takes 2 seconds.
But you realize that there was a time when there was nothing on Wikipedia. Now there's more. But if you find something that isn't there, that's not a problem. Wikipedia is not perfect, and it doesn't have all the information in the world in it. There's no way it can ever have all the information in the world. There will always be something you can search for that won't be on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
The point is, most things are there. Most things people search for are there. And most things that people search for are there and fairly accurate and good.
I still think it's getting more messed up over time.
Honestly,
and not
see,
less.
I'd say just the opposite. I'd say as time's gone on, especially in the last 6 or 7 months, the quality of many articles has improved precipitously.
No, that's not what I see, because I remember...
What articles are you reading?
I don't even know. I don't remember.
Because you realize I make it a point if I read one Wikipedia article every single day, just as part of my editing.
Learn.
And I can think of one or two articles in the past several months that had any major problems with them, or any sort of bad grammar beyond just things that I wouldn't expect people to worry about.
I remember, like, in my late college years, Wikipedia was, like, amazing and everything on there was great. And lately, all there is, you know, people yelling about it. And
what do you mean? Where are these people yelling? What are you talking about?
Isn't that just the story that we were talking about?
The
Congressman
story here
messing
is that
with
some
it?
some people were defacing some pages, and Wikipedia blocked all
and
those
And there was
people.
A story a couple weeks ago where another guy was defacing a page about himself.
Yeah, there was one man.
And then there were pseudoscience people messing with pages and putting lies on them, and there were culties going in there, religious people going in there.
And you realize that's a small fraction of the total of Wikipedia. And
yeah.
there are thousands and thousands and thousands of articles that aren't contested at all. Like, the other day I was reading the article on rabbits. Just rabbits, the animal. And I was reading the article and going through it, and the talk page had almost nothing in it. There was nothing controversial about rabbits. No one was fighting about rabbits. No one was even defacing rabbits. It was just a useful article on rabbits.
How do you know? But see, here's the thing. There's no way to verify what, you know, I could have gone into the rabbit page and written something like...
See, there are many...
I could have made up a species of rabbit, photoshopped a picture of it, put it on there, wrote that rabbit eats, I don't know, cats, and... There would be no talk or discussion on it because no one cares about rabbits.
See, there probably would be because that sort of thing does happen from time to time where a completely benign article, I forget what article it was recently, but there was one where someone just added something crazy to it, just randomly, and they just slipped it in, and it looked legitimate, but people reading the article picked up on it immediately. And it was a fairly obscure article. I'll try to dig it up, and I'll post it if I find the link.
I don't know what losers are out there going around Wikipedia looking for stuff like that.
I am.
Way to go.
Every day I read at least one article and then I edit it if necessary.
Yeah, because you know about whatever you're reading there.
Well, the thing is, I generally have a sense of it's usually fairly obvious because I'm fairly knowledgeable about a lot of topics if something is BS or it'll set off the wait a minute sense and then I look it up further.
Well, I have that. I can do that too, but I mean, you know, if I'm not the authority on something, what's my business?
I mean, what's your point? You're really knocking Wikipedia, but I think Wikipedia is very good at what it does.
It's less useful than it used to be.
I say just the opposite. The more I use Wikipedia, I think it's improving greatly in recent months.
No, that's not been my experience. My experience is, you know, a couple years ago, whenever I looked something up, I would always find something great. And lately, whenever I look something up, I always
just end up...
What
have you been looking up? I defy you in the next
week. Just because I don't remember what I've been looking up.
Then I really don't believe you, because you have nothing.
Yeah, because I'm just making it up that, you know...
I wouldn't put it past you.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, really...
You're just making it up.
All right, look at the Wikipedia article on rabbits, which I just read. It was fantastic. Look at the talk page. Look at the Wikipedia article on indigo children, which I just edited fairly heavily not too long ago. It's fine. No one's even tried to revert the change. Someone tried to revert the changes I put in once, and someone else who's smart just fixed it, and there hasn't been a problem since. Recently, I read one on the Gulf War. The Wikipedia article on the original Gulf War is extremely accurate and well done.
Yeah, because you're an expert on the Gulf War.
I know enough about it to know if an article's accurate or not.
Yeah, you might know some parts are accurate, but you don't know...
Plus, you realize everything in any Wikipedia article has to be backed up by a citation and a link to that citation. And it's very easy to look at the citations, see if those are legitimate, see if they actually back up.
Not everything is cited. I see plenty of stuff in there that
isn't. It has to be. If there's something that's uncited, Wikipedia policy, it either has to be cited or deleted. In fact, there's a specific rule against original research. If there is no cite or if anything's original, it cannot be on Wikipedia, and it will be deleted as per Wikipedia's policy. If something isn't cited...
Yeah, where are these citations? Because sometimes I'll see, like, at the bottom of the page some links or, you know, some bibliography. But there aren't, like, you know, little footnotes and citations single sentence.
On many, many articles, there are numerous citations. Dozens and dozens.
I don't see them, and I don't see every single fact and every single paragraph being cited.
You do realize that if there's a cite at the end of a paragraph, oftentimes that cite relates to the entire paragraph.
Yes, I know this, but many, many paragraphs just don't have anything. It's just paragraphs of information.
That's not been my experience. I found that almost everything I read on Wikipedia is actually fairly well cited.
I don't even know where the citations are half the time. They're just like either not there.
They're in the bottom under citations.
Yeah, a lot of times there'll be this giant article, and at the bottom there'll be like two things.
If that's true, point them out to me, and I'll fix them, or I'll delete them, because that's the exception to the rule.
I don't know. It's not what I see.
Then point it out to me. Show me.
Why do I have to show you? Why don't you show me all the whatevers?
All right, look at all the ones I just described.
Two. That's a great, you know, sample size there.
All right, let's see. I read one on the Crimean War, which I actually know quite a bit about. It was very well done. It was a little short, but it was about what you get from a high school history book. I read one recently on the Articles of Confederation from, you know, the document the U.S. used before the Constitution. It was actually extremely well written and accurate. I read one on the Civil War not too long ago. That one was fairly well cited.
But you're not an expert on any of those things.
Actually, I'm not an expert, but I know a lot about the Civil War because my grandfather is very, I wouldn't say nutty, but he's extremely interested in and well-versed in the American Civil War. Partly because his family's from Tennessee, and he's really big on American history like that.
So your grandpa would be able to say whether it is. That doesn't say anything about you. I mean,
I wasn't using these as examples of, oh, I read this article and it's perfect, as in, I'm using them as examples of, oh, I read this article, it was really good, and...
Look, here's the one about rabbits. Let's see where I can find a citation. Oh, no, there aren't any citations yet. No, there's still no citations. Still no citations. Still none. There are three links there in the middle of the page. Under the human relationships with rabbits, there's three links at the bottom of it. I don't see any footnotes. I don't see any citations. Nothing. They're inter-Wikipedia links. And then at the bottom of the page, there are two external links and three see alsos. I don't see any citations, as in this book, this page, or this scientific journal entry, this anything. So, according to you, we should delete most of this. But also, according to you, it's well written. Where are the citations?
Most of that information comes from the links at the bottom. They didn't cite everything because a lot of the information
came
in both.
But it's not cited. A citation means parentheses with telling me where that information comes from.
How do I know which of these paragraphs of information comes
from which links?
You realize that citation is not a formal word and that there are many different kinds of citation. There's MLA citation, which is a very specific and exact...
That just has to do with the formatting of the citation.
It also has to do with what information you include in the citation. There's
means you say which information came from which source. All this says
citation just means you say where the information came from. That could be a very vague, broad thing.
You have to say which information came from where. You can't just say,
yeah, you can.
All this information came from either here or here. That's not citing.
Why not? You may not consider that citing, but the definition of citation is fairly broad. All right, well, let's look at this link, rabbit.org, which is the primary cited reference for the Wikipedia article. It contains, in extreme detail, everything included in the Wikipedia article and more.
So why even bother having the Wikipedia article?
The Wikipedia article is just a useful reference, and it points you in the right direction. If you want more than what's on the Wikipedia article, then you can follow the links for the more exact information.
See, now how do I know which information on this rabbit page came from which of those
links?
You
know what? If you don't know, then just don't use Wikipedia.
So you may have noticed around various websites on the internet, there's a lot of supposed pictures of what the user interface on the Revolution is going to look like, the virtual console or whatever you want to call it. Pretty much all of them are fake. And in fact, the one I've linked to is fake, confirmed. But the point is that people are talking like, is Nintendo just making a whole bunch of these and flooding the internet with them to create some hype? Are they doing it to, you know, get people confused so if the real one ever gets out there, people won't believe it? Or is this some guy doing it on purpose to be silly? Or, you know, there's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it's hard to say, but all the ideas we see, one, these Photoshops are really well done.
They're really well done.
I mean, like, we look at this one, like, they even get it where you see, like, the projected image on the guy standing in front of the screen.
Yeah, it's really good.
And two, all these things are kind of badass. Like, they're all products that, ooh, or ideas that, ooh, they make me get all the Twitter about Nintendo.
Yeah, you know, and it's the one that that looked the most believable to me was the one that looked a lot like the DS interface. But I have a feeling that the Revolution interface is going to utilize the Revolution controller in some way, like aiming and shooting or some such like that.
Yeah.
You know, perhaps something 3D could be done with the new controller. That would be mad cool. You know, because 3D interfaces right now all suck.
Yeah, pretty much. Though for me, over the weekend, I had the pleasure of seeing a movie that not many people in the world have seen. It was never released ever. It's had a few special screenings. In 1984, it was shown in Seattle for 4 days. It was shown one day in New York City a few years ago. It was shown in Rochester, New York over this past weekend once. And the movie is called Nothing Lasts Forever. It was basically, you know, Saturday Night Live, like old Saturday Night Live. Back when, like, John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd and all them were on it.
So not super old, just semi-old.
Yeah, like the golden age. Well, part of it is that back then, the original concept for SNL included having short films in every episode. Like, there'd be the musical act and the comedy bits, and then short film.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this guy, his name was Tom Schiller, and he made a bunch of these movies. And anyone who's old enough to remember the old SNL probably remembers these movies. They're just little shorts, and they're often hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
One was kind of scary and prophetic. It showed all the characters from SNL dead, except John Belushi, and he was walking over all their graves like, yeah, Phil, this one died of this, and blah, 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 and then a lot of them ended up actually dying early, including John Belushi.
Including John Belushi.
Yeah. But this movie has all those people in it. Like, every big name, Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, John Belushi was gonna be in it, but he actually died right before. Bill Murray.
You said him.
Yeah, I said him. Mm-hmm. But I really can't describe this movie other than that it was odd and hilarious.
It's hard to not be hilarious with that kind of lineup.
I mean, just to give a small sampling, I mean, there's a transit strike, right? So the New York Port Authority takes over Manhattan. Yeah. And then they go to the moon on a bus. And
the Port Authority bus?
No. But then there's these bums that are living under the city, and they're actually the secret masters of the universe.
All right.
And Bill Murray plays this guy, and he's odd. I'm really not sure how to describe it at all.
Maybe there's a reason that no one's seen it and no one wants to see it.
No, it's really good. It's hilarious.
All right.
And it wasn't released only because Warner Brothers didn't like it, and there's a lot of, like, stock footage used in it, so there are copyright issues with actually releasing it. But if any of you out there have a copy of this movie that isn't that one screener bootleg that's going around that's unwatchable, I'll probably pay good money for it.
I'm sure there has to be a way.
There's a horrible, broken screener that you can buy, and it's just, like, unwatchable. It was aired once on Australian television. It was aired once on German television.
I'm sure we can get it up from Australian television.
I don't know if anyone taped it. I don't think it was ever aired again.
There's got to be something. There can't be you just watched it the other day, right? You just saw it, right?
Yeah.
That means there's a film that exists.
Oh, yeah, there's film.
It has to be a film transfer of some sort, somewhere, something. It might require great feats of Lupin, but there's a way to get this movie and watch it.
Yeah. So if anyone out there has seen this movie, one, I'd love to get some audio feedback from you. Maybe you can describe the movie in a more coherent way than I'm able to. Two, if you find the movie, I'm prepared to pay you handsomely for it.
It's just BitTorrent. Come on.
Yeah. If you find it on BitTorrent, God.
Yeah.
This movie's just fantastic, and it's weird, and it's kind of a backhanded thing of the day because, while one, it's this awesome thing that I want you all to see, there's almost no way for you to see it.
Yeah. I really hate it when things are lost.
Yeah, like all those episodes of Doctor Who that the BBC just destroyed and they're gone forever.
Yeah, when things are gone forever, it sucks. And that's why copyright sucks. Because it makes things get lost forever. Without copyright, nothing would ever get lost. Because some nut would make a billion copies of it and hold on to it forever.
Well, things that didn't matter would get lost, but that's because no one would like them.
If no one likes them, then they deserve to get lost.
If you can't find even one guy willing to hoard what you did, it probably isn't worth knowing about 1,000 years from now.
Yeah, seriously. There are people who collect, spoons. If there's a guy who's willing to hold on to a spoon and there's no one willing to hold on to what you made, wow, it sucks. Wow. Or it doesn't suck enough, because if something really sucks, people will hold on to it for its novelty.
Like Hard Rock Zombies.
Yeah, like that.
But, we're not going to do our main bit today just because we yelled at each other for 45 minutes about other things.
Pretend that's the main bit.
Yeah. And we're not sure if we're going to do it real soon. We might wait a couple weeks, depending. But I'm sure all of you are aware, and for those of you who aren't aware, Otakon, the anime convention, has violently changed its Artist Alley policy to effectively ban fan art.
Well, they haven't officially made this the permanent final policy yet.
Well, despite the fact that they say they haven't made it the official policy, it was posted under a thread entitled Official Changes for 2006.
Yeah.
And there's this big rigmarole. Anime News Network reported on it, and then Otakon called him out, and then Anime News Network jabbed right back and said, you reported this as official. It's not our fault.
Mm-hmm.
And the fans exploded, and they had to lock they had to lock the thread twice because people just were screaming about it. And every forum where people find out about this is just going nuts. And we've got at least one very good person to interview about this, and we're going to do a whole episode on the Otakon Artist Alley issue. So stay tuned.
Even if it gets resolved, we'll still do an episode on it, too, because there's a lot of things that could be discussed about it that are interesting.
And that was Geek Nights with Rim and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for our opening theme.
Be sure to visit our website at www.frontrowcrew.com. If you like our podcasts, you'll love our forums. Make sure you visit them. You can send your email feedback to geeknights@gmail.com. And if you want, you can leave us a voicemail at 206-333-1537.
Geek Nights airs every weeknight, Monday through Thursday.
Geek Nights is recorded with absolutely no studio and no audience. But unlike those other talk shows, it's actually recorded at night.